another ethnic on the line here. Drewick's not an English name, so get our
ethnic. My wife's Hungarian, mate. Ask Anthony if it is
Drewick or Drimmich?
It's Drimmich, but no one knows how to say it properly, so we roll with Drimmich.
Welcome to the Brad and Body Podcast. You already know who we are. We wouldn't be here, so let's not waste any more time. Here's Bradley.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Brad and Botti podcast. Hello, Botton. How are you, my friend?
Geez,
you mate,
right.
I've been practicing all week.
You must have been practicing in anticipation of our guest today, who is one of the people that we actually have wanted to get on for a couple of reasons.
Absolutely.
And one of those is where he is right now. We want to talk about that, but I'll let you do the intros and let's get into it.
Yes, can't wait. And as you said, we've been wanting to have him on for a while. Born in February 92, he did attend the Institute of Sport in 09-10, but then he went to Boise State University, and boy, have we had some fantastic players that have gone through that at the Broncos. He is the second, if I'm not mistaken, Botond, all-time leading scorer after a number of huge seasons there. Part of these seasons, he's also a two-time second-team All-West Conference player. That's pretty impressive.
That's good. That's really good.
He's represented Australia in the under-19s, and he started his illustrious career in 2016 with the Adelaide 36ers, where he was named NBL Rookie of the Year as well. As I said, he's played for Adelaide. He then went to Brisbane, back to Adelaide, and now he is with the mighty Tasmania Jack Jumpers. He's played 208 games, and for career shooting well over 40% as well, which is outstanding for a player of his degree. He's played a number of NBL teams as well, where I think he's come off the Central Champion, if I'm not mistaken, this year as well. So it is an absolute fantastic to have him on. Anthony Drimmich, or as we say, Drim, welcome to the pod.
Thanks for having me, guys.
It's an absolute pleasure to have you here. And we always start at the beginning. It's either Brad or myself ask the same question, almost tedious, but we're really keen to know, how did you get into the sport? Like, what? Why didn't you play football or you know, some many of the other options that you had? What drew you to basketball? Was it family, school, friends? Take us on the journey.
That 100% is thanks to the big brother right there. Big Frank was a big part of that. There's 14 years age difference between us, so he was already playing professionally when I was only young, figuring out what I wanted to do, and just kind of went following his footsteps in that regard.
Right. Okay. Actually, that's interesting because my oldest brother is exactly 14 years older than me, and I didn't really discover him as a human being till I was an older teenager, because we were so, I'm 14, he's 28, he's from a well away. So now he must have been a profound influence because of the way you play the game.
Yeah, I mean, it's, I remember the ages of being 4 and 5, and he would have been 19 at the time. So just going to all the games back in the day when he was playing for Magic. And that was obviously a great experience, just being able to watch him grow as a player and a human, and like I said, kind of following those footsteps.
And what a player he was. I played against him for a number of seasons, and I remember when he signed with the Sydney Kings, what a coup that was. But let's move on a little bit, and what I want to find out, and I love this as well, what took you to the Institute? How did that happen?
It was pretty funny. I was playing tennis at the time as well, and I went to the under 18s nationals to basketball as a bottom age, and I didn't really know if I was going to play much. I was coming off the bench, and I had a breakout tournament. I think I had 30 points in the first two games, and then pretty much after that, Marty Clark walked straight up to me and gave me a invite to the AIS, and I was actually thinking about taking a year off and pursuing tennis, playing some of the tournaments around the country. So the timing was funny, but it all kind of worked out.
I want to say on this tennis bit a little bit, we know how good Chris Anstey was at tennis. And then you've got Anstey, who has obviously played with Frank Drimmich. Was there any relationship there between you guys?
No, not that I remember. I kind of just picked up tennis randomly when I was a bit older, and I love the difference between the team sport and the individual sport. It was just a completely different experience for me. So, yeah, really enjoyed it and was going to give it a crack. But, you know, obviously the AIS came calling, so that took priority.
Now, 2 seasons at AIS, correct?
Three.
Oh, three. Okay. So was Marty your coach the whole time?
Marty was my coach the first year. And then I had Paul Burris as the interim in that second year and then Ian Stacker towards the end.
Wow. Okay. So nice.
Good, good group.
Yes. Yeah, absolutely. So then how, where did Boise State come into this? So obviously you're playing and then it happens. So how did that come about?
Yeah. The AIS back then at least was, you know, it was heavily recruited by colleges. Mm. So we had a couple come through, you know, just playing, we played in Siebel back then and then a couple international tournaments. I guess I showed up on their radar and, yeah, they recruited me and I went on how many schools? I visited 4 schools all in one trip and they ended up being the standout for me personally, mainly because there was 6 or 7 seniors graduating and all I cared about was playing. So I knew that would be my best chance to, you know, make an impression as a freshman and play.
Boddy, I'm going to sort of throw it to you because I know you've got another question, but I wanted to ask, I just remember when Drim was coming back to Australia after what, you know, not knowing a lot about him and not seeing, because I didn't follow a whole lot of college, but I knew when he was signed, the talk of this guy coming back was huge. What was it like in Adelaide for you and then you saw him coming?
Me?
Yeah.
Oh, look, Joey was so high on him at the time that I was I was waiting to see what you know what this great new young man was going to be like. And I think if I remember correctly, Drim, in the early stages, you had a little bit of a trouble sort of finding your identity until you kind of settled on I'm going to be a 3-and-D guy. So you were really reliable suddenly as a 3-point shooter and always as a defender. And that's isn't that almost like the trademark of your game now?
Yeah, it was a very interesting, you know, part of my journey. Yeah, kind of shifted. You know, I didn't think I played much defense in college, so having to learn that coming over and you know, be one of those guys that you could rely on the defensive end. But yeah, it was interesting for me because I had an ankle injury, which took me, you know, honestly quite a long time, probably up to 3 years to fully have recovered. So you know, coming in, I was a little injured. You know, I didn't tell Joey right that one, but was a little injured.
Hi, Joey. And, thanks for listening, yeah, Joey.
I'm sure he figured it out after a little while, but yeah, it took me a while to get my legs going. I would say, you know, and finding my feet in the league. Just you know, first of all, the step up in competition obviously is huge, and then you know, still being injured, but yeah, found my way.
Yes. Yeah. Absolutely. And then so You then go to Brisbane, which to me is an interesting choice. What drew you to Brisbane out of the options that you had? Because I kind of half figured if you were going to go, you'd go to Melbourne.
Yeah, the Melbourne one's always been interesting. You know, there has been some opportunities that have come up, but yeah, nothing solid. So Brisbane, obviously, I don't know. It ended up making the most sense in the situation. Adelaide ended up not wanting to keep me, so you know, the next best option for me there was Brisbane. I had a few guys over there, old teammates that I obviously haven't played with and known, and it just made the best sense at the time.
Were you still there during the what we call the Schmozzle years, where you know, they were sacking coaches and you know, like, or were you already out of it and back in Adelaide by then? Did you live through that?
So my first year was with JD. My first year was – who was my first year?
Lemanis?
Lemanis, yeah, with Lemanis.
Yep. Yep.
That was a non-Schmozzle year, but it was COVID year, so it was kind of all over the place anyway. And then obviously JD came in and then – yeah, it was definitely interesting. I think that following year is when they had all the firings and things going on. So, but yeah.
You could see it coming. You'd bail
by
then.
Yeah. Were any of those seasons hard in that way? Like, you know, I always talk about this, mate. I went through one season where we had 8 imports. And it's so difficult when that's happening and you've got to stay focused and on point because, you know, A, you've got to try and be the best teammate you can, but B, you also got to look after number one because contract's coming up. So did you have that situation?
Yeah, one of the years in Brisbane was like that. I remember one game we played with like 6.5 guys because we couldn't fly people in because of COVID, and we had a bunch of imports that were injured. The year with Vic Law, when we were like a top two team, and then all of a sudden he gets injured, Sobey gets injured, and you know we're back at the bottom kind of thing. So
right, remember that.
Yeah, those the Brizzy years were definitely were tough, I would say.
Okay, let's talk about to Adelaide. Yeah. You come back to Adelaide. What, you know, is that, do we put that down as temporary insanity?
I was excited about that year. Honestly, for me personally, I feel like I had a pretty good year, which makes it even upsetting because I feel like we had a team. I feel like the players we had were good enough to win a championship. That team on paper was unbelievable. Obviously, couldn't put it all together on the court, but I was excited. And I genuinely love Adelaide. Like, I have a house in Adelaide. I could see myself living in Adelaide when I retire, type of thing. So I was excited to come back.
Best place in the world. Don't let them know.
No, it's true. You guys got running
secret.
Water last week. I'm so happy for you guys. It's fantastic.
What I do want to ask about that year with Adelaide, the Phoenix Suns. How did that feel just being part of that?
It's a curse. the America games are always so interesting. I mean, obviously, being able to play against an NBA team is an awesome experience, and then beating one is, well, we were the first to do it, right? So
yeah,
it was amazing for about 3 days, and then you know the realization crept back in of, you know, we got to get back to Australia now. We're starting in round three. We haven't played a game. Other teams have worked a few things out, and it definitely felt like we started behind the eight ball for sure in terms of NBL season. But I guess that was the trade off.
Yeah.
When you left Brisbane and came back to Adelaide, this is now, what, two seasons ago, what was the thing that got you back there? Was it a CJ? Was it I'd been there before and want to go back to Adelaide? Which one?
I think, like, coming back to Adelaide was always an option. Obviously, a few things had to work themselves out. But, like I said, I loved Adelaide when I played it the first time, and I still love Adelaide. So I would say that, but also the team on paper, like I honestly, looking at the team we had put together, I was like, this is a championship caliber type team. So something I was hopeful that would happen, obviously didn't come to fruition, but that's pro sports, right?
And what do you put that down to? Because you were extremely talented. What do you put that?
Oh, I don't want to say anything bad. I would say
it's okay. You're allowed.
I would say it was. Look, you look at other teams, and throughout a season, they find their identity. You know, some earlier than others, which then results in wins. I feel like we never really found our identity. We didn't have a brand that we just, you know, we knew we could hang our hat on what we're going to do that day. I think the one thing we were really good at was playing in transition, but I think other teams worked that out very, very early that we cannot run with these guys. So obviously teams didn't allow us to do that. So apart from that, it was just, struggling to find that identity.
Okay, now I'd love to go with the fact, because when you talk of identity and teams and everything, you leave Adelaide and you go to arguably one of the best identities in the league at the moment with Tasmania. Was that Adelaide, don't know if I want to stay, don't know where I'm going, or how did that all come about? Because, I mean, I love this Jack Jumpers team. I think they're everyone's second team if it's not their first team,
actually.
Yeah, we're right. Yeah.
Yeah. Firstly, leaving Adelaide. When I retire, we can do another episode and I'll tell you all about it.
Oh, mate, I'm writing it down. Right. I'm writing it down.
Because I don't want to.
In fact, just write a book.
Write
a book.
Yeah, so that's right. Cool. That's right. I should. No, I'll just drop it to Buddy because I know he's got his article. So I'll send him a link when I retire. But the Tassie stuff, it just everything kind of makes sense again, basketball wise for me.
That's so nice.
You know, the culture. Just the big one I use is accountability. You know. Everyone's on the same page. Everyone's working towards the same goal. everyone knows their role is a big one. It just, yeah, everything makes sense, and I'm really enjoying it.
Yeah, I mean, it's fun to watch that team because you get that feeling from it straight away just from watching. I mean, did you get that last year when you watched the Jack Jumpers, or the last 2 years? You know, I mean, they made a grand final and semifinal. When you've watched the Jack Jumpers, did you get that sense off them straight away that this is a crowd that really knows what its culture is and what it's trying to build, and it'd be a good thing to be part of?
Yeah, it was. I mean, honestly, it was annoying and frustrating being on the other end because it's like, why can't, you know, what are we got to do to figure this part out? Because they seem to have it down to a science. So, being over here and being a part of it, it all just makes sense now.
Do you feel when you're training, is there different things this coach does? Because I would love to pick the brain. Like I commentated you guys in Sydney a couple of weeks ago, and that was one of the most polished performance that I've seen in a very long time of how to dismantle a very quality team. And you guys were awesome. Is that just the day-to-day grind that keeps going from a Scott Roth?
Yeah, 100%. That's a huge part of it is the day-to-day grind. And it, you know, it doesn't really change much depending on whether we win or lose. You know, we have our processes that we do, and we have our daily stuff that we get done. And, obviously, there's things you need to get better at and tweak and all that throughout a season. But, like I was saying about finding teams' identity, it's something that we do. I feel like the Tassie has done and will continue to do is find their identity really early in a season, which for me translates to wins. You know, maybe a win you might not get on the road early in the season. You sneak one. So,
coming now from a player's perspective, Drew, I'd love to know this. You hear so much of how the league has improved, and, you know, we sit back here and think, my God, look where it's at. You look at the next stars. You look at the players that are coming here. For someone that's been in the league, 8 years, is that something that – is there such a gap when you're playing out there that you notice that, wow, it's just so much better?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if that's just me getting older and all these freakish young guys coming in, all these athletes coming in. But it was inevitable. I feel like with, you know, the product that the league's putting out on the court and, you know, just the entertainment side, and, you know, the money coming in, and the growth and the potential TV deals and everything, like the growth of the league overall has just continued to go up and up, which then obviously translates to better product on the court. And yeah, you're seeing it. Like, there's no teams. There's not a single team in this league where you're walking in. You're going, all right. You know, we just do our job properly. We win by 20 type of thing. There's, you know, that may have been the case, you know, 5, 6, 7, 8 years ago. So, yeah, it's tough. It's incredibly tough. It's enjoyable though, and it's awesome.
Do you find it inspiring or amusing to hear a whole crowd of Tasmanians chanting march, march, march?
A bit of both. I would say that the environment that, you know, down here is for home games is almost college-esque. The feeling is like a college town feeling, and, you know, the crowd really gets behind the team, and it's, you know, it's awesome to see.
Yes, let's go now talk about this season in general. You guys, I guess you could say, had a bit of a mixed bag. I mean, I don't think you're playing poorly at all, but there's been games where you've won and done really well, and then there's a games where I look at it and go, oh, you dropped that one, which I didn't expect. Where do you guys think you're at the moment?
I think defensively we can still get a lot better, which is honestly great to see. You know, sitting 5-4, I think this is the best start the Jack Jumpers have ever had, right, in a season. So I feel like offensively we're really solid at the moment. We're sharing the ball, we're doing the right things, but it's defense where we can continue to improve. And, you know, once we get our defense to that Jack Jumpers standard, you know, if we can be in a top four defensive team, it's going to be really hard for teams to shut us down.
Yeah, see, Brad, I don't think you're given enough credit, because let's face it, in the schedule, what Tasmania has it, they've already played Melbourne, who everyone thinks is champions, you know, the team to beat for the championship, twice. They played Sydney twice. They played Brisbane a couple of times. And these are all quality teams.
You know what my problem with Tassie is right now? I just expect them to win all the time because I love them. Like, no, I'm not saying that because Drim's on the phone. Like, I've said it publicly on the – I think Milton Doyle is the MVP of this league.
Yep,
I think he is that good. I've said it publicly. And, you know, he wasn't arguably the best player for them when they came up to Sydney. That's how good this team is. So I love what they're doing. But now I want to transfer to Saturday. You got Drim, you're flying to Adelaide, you got a house there, you're going against your old team. How you feeling, mate? Do you love these?
Oh, yeah. I mean, whether people want to admit it or not, going to play your old team is always a good one. You know, a bit more nerves, but if you control them, you know, you can harness that energy into hopefully playing a good game. But no, I'm super excited to have a crack against them, and you know, seeing some of the lads will be good as well. But yeah, just excited.
Love it.
I've got one for you. This one, I don't know if this is controversial or not, but you've played in both venues, the Adelaide Entertainment Centre and what used to be known as the Clipswell Powerhouse or the Adelaide 36ers Arena, which is a real basketball venue. As a player, which do you prefer?
Oh God, I don't want to touch this one and get you on that much. I still remember I was there the year of the transfer, getting yelled at by fans for they didn't have the proper seats on the members day when they came in to pick their seats. I was getting yelled at. I'm like, I'm not the one picking the seats, guys. Come on. Look, I still remember Titanium during that grand final series versus Melbourne. Was like insane. It was. I don't think anything's matched that for me since. So I love playing there at Titanium. I think, you know, transitioning to the entertainment center, more seating in that is obviously there's a lot that comes from that, being in a more central location, close to the city.
Yeah.
Oh, near the tram line and all that. But something special about playing in Titanium when it was rocking.
Yeah, I love it. Drim, what we do now at this time of the pod, we're going to throw some names at you. And these names are players that and coaches that you will know. And basically all we're looking for is like one word, a sentence, an antidote, something on them that the first thing that comes to your mind. All right. So I'm going to start it off here. Jerome Randle.
Handles.
Nice. Yep. Okay.
Good. Joey Wright.
Oh, God, the news is coming. Look, Joey, I love you, but crazy in a good way.
That's fabulous.
That's what he'll know in the best way possible.
He'll love it too. Scott Roth.
Sorry?
Scott Roth.
Joey Wright-esque.
Actually, I thought sorry was your answer. Okay, I've got Nathan Sobey.
Fiery.
Oh, good one. Oh, I like these. Yep. All right. Oh, speaking of fiery, Jack McVay.
Oh, my God, Jack McVay. We'll go with bubbly.
Oh, nice.
All right, I got Antonius Cleveland.
Ooh, just freak.
Yeah.
All right, one complete left field, and I'm throwing this. Best player you've ever played with.
Ooh, this is a tough one. I have to go with Childress just because of how much he impacted when he joined our team, how it just completely changed our team around and just how he was as a leader and the things he could do on the court were just incredible.
Shout out to Jesse Wagstaff.
That's amazing. Yeah, Jesse Wagstaff said the same thing.
Really? Okay.
No. No.
Oh God! Yes, now I remember.
Drim, look.
Hang on.
Oh, go on.
You had his best. I want your toughest opponent.
Oh, nice. Yes.
Toughest opponent. Oh, this is tough. Just like guarding wise.
Yeah. Yep.
New Zealand's import last year.
Oh, Bowen.
Jarrell.
Oh, sorry, no. Barry Brown.
Barry Brown.
Yeah. He junior.
You knew what he was going to do, and you were saying it in your head. He's going to rip base, and then he just ripped base.
Wow.
And you don't know how he did it.
Now we're gonna finish on this because I don't want to keep you any longer. But I love it. Whenever there's a little dingle, a little shuffle, a little push on the floor or anything, you always seem to be there, which I love, right? You do pride yourself on it. Please tell me, because I love it.
Yeah, of course.
Yeah.
Someone's got to do it. Someone's got to do the dirty work.
You're the one that everyone says, that's the guy I want to play with. No doubt.
Yep.
And I guess if you end your career, if you're known as that, that's bloody awesome.
Yeah, no, definitely take that one.
Good on you. Dream, you are an absolute legend, mate. We can't thank you enough. Love what you are doing and what you've always done, but loving the Jackies as well. And, mate, we thank you so much. We wish you very best for the rest of the season, and I'm sure we'll see you around.
Well, I appreciate it. Thanks for having me, guys.
Just let us know when you're retiring, so then we're ringing you a week later. All right? Speak to you soon.
Yeah. I'll be on the line.
Good on you, Drim. Thanks, mate. That was a good one, buddy, as it normally is. He was really cool, Drim. You know, like what you see on the court is not what I felt then. Really cool guy. Oh,
no, I like
cool
the, I like
on the court, but you know what I mean?
Yeah,
like he's got that aggression
like
on the court.
Inside. I like the insight into Tasmania because, you know, what they've done for that state, what they've done for AFL football too, just by the way, because they're pooping themselves trying to get an AFL team there now because of what the Jackies have done.
Of course.
So it's good to get an insight into that and the man.
All right. Enough of the NBL at the moment. I want to go WNBL. It's back, baby. We loved it. And what a – geez, we got some good stuff on Chrissy Howell last week. That was fantastic, wasn't it?
Yeah.
I really enjoyed that.
Yeah, and she picked well as to who the four teams would be that would be in the playoffs.
She did.
Which is interesting, though, because the big favourites are Southside and Sydney, and they're both first-round losers. So that also sort of speaks to the fact that there have been many players around the game, like your Annalie Maley's and Jade Melbourne's, and just the players around the game who are saying this is the most even season that they can anticipate because the quality is a bit like the NBL. I mean, the quality is quite deep. Sure. So you get Perth beating Sydney, and this is a Sydney that spent big in the off-season. You know, you bring in Lauren Nicholson, Kayla George, the MVP of the league, Guy Malloy, championship-winning coach. Mm. So for Perth to get them, Annalie Maley to get 21 rebounds, does anybody know about boxing out? Is boxing out a skill that's just lost now?
To go with her 15 points as well.
Yeah.
So, terrific, pretty cool. What else stood out for you? I mean, obviously you said Southside lost. We know all that. Burma's beaten. Yeah. What stood out?
Melbourne beating both Adelaide and Southside and doing it without Christy Wallace. Yeah,
on
both games on the road, no Christy Wallace, no Monique Conti, no Amy Rocci. So that's three of their main rotation out. To do that speaks volumes to the chemistry of that team and the coaching. Chris Lucas is an outstanding coach.
Oh,
I think he showed it at the weekend.
We love him. Yeah.
I thought I watched the Adelaide Canberra game. I thought the skill level really disturbed me. There was just a lot of up and down, silly sort of nonsense.
Yeah.
Which we're seeing, I think,
look
generally
more like
in basketball.
Pre-season game.
Yeah. And you got Townsville beating Bendigo, but Bendigo still don't have Kelsey Griffin yet, so they're going to be around the mark too. They've had an outstanding preseason playing games in Asia. So, yeah, I'm really like that. The first round was very
well.
Exciting.
Let's go to round two. I just want you to give me your tips here. Okay. Canberra at home. Well, always the first team at home. Canberra, Southside.
Southside.
Yeah, me too. I think they'll get their first win. Bendigo, Flames.
I reckon Flames. I'll go with Flames just now.
Damn, I don't want to go with you, but okay, no problems. Townsville, Southside.
Townsville.
Yeah. This is not good. Perth, Adelaide.
Oh, gee. And that's in Perth.
Yes,
Perth. Wow. Oh, I think I'm leaning to Perth narrowly. That should be a good game.
Man, I'm going for Perth as well. This is not good, mate. Flames home versus the Boomers.
Oh, geez, you don't want to. Oh, I like the way the Boomers are traveling. I'm going to stick with Melbourne.
Flames. That'll be their home game, and that's at Kudos before the Kings. I think
that's
energy
good.
And
you'll
everything
be able to watch
like that.
It. Fantastic.
So I'll definitely be getting to watch that. I'll be getting out there early, no question. Mate, okay, that was fantastic. Thank you for that. I'm going to go straight now, and what I want to hear, what was your moment of, let's go best moment of the round.
Of the round?
Yeah.
Anything? Well, that would be the NBL round. It would be the men. It would be Bryce Cotton. I just thought Bryce Cotton remembering, hey, I'm Bryce Cotton.
Yeah, and, nice.
Because he was like 0 of 6 or something at that stage and was had continued being that other bloke. And then, boom, Bryce Cotton kicked in. And once it kicked in, just to see that self-assuredness again, that confidence. That
swagger. Swagger was back.
I loved it. I mean, you can't have him in a conversation about our all-time greatest players and have him in the sort of form he's in and not be happy when he busts out of it. And, yeah, I was really thrilled. My favourite moment was just seeing his body language. You tell me yours.
Well, I will, but speaking of that, when you say all-time favourite players, I loved the interview with Leroy Loggins in Brisbane the other night.
Oh, yeah.
Just to hear him saying, you know, I had a bit of a fallout, don't know what happened, not interest, you know, that's not my area. But just the fact that he's back and he's there and, you know, the league needs Leroy, right? The league needs Leroy, and I think it's great. Look, my moment, Sydney Kings, I know, but I got to pay homage to Sean Bruce. To be able to hit that three at late in the game, puts him up, and then the defense that he did at the end, I got to give that guy credit. You know, that was a fantastic effort from him. I will come back on Parker Jackson Cartwright in a second, but for me, Sean Bruce was the moment that took it for me.
Give me your Rosen Rattler.
Oh, it's New Zealand. I'm sorry. I loved yesterday's game. Really enjoyed commentating. After I commentated the Illawarra and Sydney game, which was a pretty hard slog, that wasn't a greatest of games, to come back and have to go Kings versus New Zealand in a grand final rematch, that was a ripper. I loved it. New Zealand were great. Modi was right near us, yelling, raving. I've got to tell you, sorry, quick side note. He actually was yelling at the referees one time. How was that then? How was it then? And then he turns around and goes, yeah, I know it was their ball.
That's what he said. Unbelievable. Unbelievable.
But he's great. So, but I will have to say, New Zealand, man, they blew that in the last couple of minutes. You could probably argue Sydney did as well because they did some dumb things. But when you're down by two and, you know, Parker's got the ball, I'm thinking to myself, mate, you got to take that at the hole. If you're wide open, okay. But to do the dance, I would have gone early. So if you miss, you can get an offensive rebound or Eastern foul, right? Or, and secondly, I wouldn't be dancing the three-point line, then pick it up and throw a one-legged three to win the game. That's hero ball.
Yep.
Don't like it. Didn't enjoy it, but I do love what he bought and New Zealand. They'll be good for the gallop, but no, didn't enjoy that end bit.
Yep, no, I'm the same. I wrote about that at the blog today. So, I described the last 2.5 minutes. There's some pretty horrific stuff went on. But anyway, it was a great ending to a terrific
All right, match. Well, give me a nasty.
My nasty is I just think that commentators are not giving us sufficient detail on the TV games about what's happening in-game. You know, you got guys that are subbed off and you think, well, that was that his second foul or his third foul? But the commentators are too busy talking about what they had for breakfast. And I really miss John Casey because John Casey is informative and knowledgeable. And when he's not on a game, we lose that. I mean, I know some people don't like him because he's got a bunch of sayings that he falls to. But I love John because I know I'm going to get information.
He's such an Adelaide boy. I'm joking. I love Casey. He's great too. Yeah,
spent some time in Sydney and Broken Hill. Yeah. Come on, he's been around. Anyway, so that's my nasty. I think you got to, if you're not putting graphics up that are telling us consistently what's going on.
I understand
in the game,
what you're saying. I mean, as a commentator, you're also having a crack at me, mate. So bugger off, but I'm joking. But look, I understand what you're saying. But you know, part of the thing is you do want to inform non lovers of basketball as well. And it's got to be a good balance. And I can understand what you're saying. So,
Player of the round.
Look, I was thinking long and hard about this, but for me, what I saw yesterday in Anthony Lamb at New Zealand, and then the way he played against Cairns on Friday night, averaged 24 for the weekend. Man, he's smooth, and he hasn't got his legs under him yet. For me, he was the player of the round. Two great games. Yes, I know they lost yesterday, but wow, got to give it to him.
Are you familiar with the actor Oscar Isaac?
No.
Okay. Look him up. I don't think we've ever seen him and Anthony Lamb in the same room at the same time. That's all I'm saying. My player of the round, while I'm still here, is I'm going Jordan Canada. Jordan Canada is the WNBA import playing for Melbourne Boomers. Almost had a triple-double in the win over Southside. Was terrific in organising that team. Again, I've mentioned the absence of the three key guards that Boomers have either out with injury or post-AFLW. So the fact that she stepped up and did so much for that team, I was very, very impressed with it. She was my player of the round. Quickly, let's go through the NBL games this week. Who are we picking?
Yep. Okay, let's go. Start with Friday night, Perth versus New Zealand in Perth.
Oh, what a start.
I know.
New Zealand.
Yes, I'm with you. I just wanted to wait and hear what you say. Cairns at home versus Illawarra. Even worry. Adelaide at home versus Tasmania. Yep. We're just waiting together today. Southeast Melbourne Phoenix versus Melbourne for top two. Big game.
Melbourne.
Yep, I got to go with you. And then Kings versus Brisbane. That'll be another ripper game. I'm looking
forward to that. That actually will be a good game, and I'm going for Brisbane. I think they're in the mix. I really do.
I'm sitting here thinking... Yeah. I think the Kings will be the same Kings, right?
Yes.
But that if Brisbane show up, yes, they can win that game.
Right at this second that the Kings, nobody's where they want to be, but I think the Kings are a bit off from where they want to be.
Yeah, look, I know they're coming along nicely. I'm with you. I'm still standing by. I don't think we're going to see the best of them until January.
Yeah.
But, there's rotations coming in and out. Some players are not playing a lot. Some players are playing a lot. Sometimes they take bad shots. Sometimes they take good shots. So it really revolves. If a team can lock them down and play good defense, they can win games, right? And right now, teams have done that, but not for 40 minutes, except for that Tasmania twice. Who's beaten them. If you play that game, they can be beaten, but you've also got to pay them credit. They're winning games. Sometimes they may not should. So you've got to, but I thought Cairns were good against them when they beat them as well. Buddy,
Here's our new section. It's called Blues We Made. So you can find anything that I wrote the past week that I screwed up and have a crack at me. Blues You Made on air, Denzel Valentine and Denzel Washington. Not the same person. Not the same person.
That too.
Parker Jackson Cartwright has got three surnames, so stop calling him Patrick.
You know what? I knew about the one with Denzel. I don't know many Denzels.
Love your work. Right?
I don't know many Denzels. And I'll tell you what, someone said to me, geez, I hope, I don't call him Denzel Washington on TV. Why would you tell me that?
Yes.
Why would you tell me that?
So my
problem is? I'm calling like 18 games of the Kings. It's not like I'm going to get one.
It's okay. It's better than the alternative. But just a quick one, anecdote, like Lynn Parnell used to call the Channel 10 games here. They had Audie Matthews was playing for Brisbane and Sydney. And I said to him before the game, hey, don't call him Audie Murphy. And he called him Audie Murphy all game.
Yeah, you're the one that probably told me about Denzel Washington.
Washington, yeah.
Thanks so much. Appreciate it. Everyone, thank you so much.
Week.
Make sure you check out Boddy, BOTINAGI.com. The best writer of the game. I didn't say that.
Oh, my God.
Oh, thanks for letting me know, Denzel Washington. I appreciate it, guys. Have a fantastic week. We'll see you next time.
See you. Bye.
Mate, you remember we were talking about Anthony and Frank, and they said there was 14 years difference, and you said
same as your
brother. Did he ever play basketball?
He was a referee.
That explains everything.